This is the fifth in a series of 10 episodes in the KBOO Evening News series, Sex for Sale. This time, we're talking about the laws and regulations that affect the sex industry here in Portland. What are those laws, and are they working? Ever heard of the Nordic model? And could you be a trafficker? The FBI is at the center of investigations of trafficking and sex crimes that cross state lines. Here's Agent Bean talking about the Bureau's focus on minors, both male and female.
You do that minor recovery, you encounter the minor, and hopefully at the same time start building your investigation on the adults who trafficked her. You know, I say girls, and it generally is. And with sexual exploitation of children, all children have the capacity to be sexually exploited, certain. And we do have cases and investigations that have involved male victims, even minor male victims. It kind of looks a little different, though, when it involves a minor male. You don't see the minors being advertised as much on Backpage when they're men or boys. That tends to not be the venue for that. But there are venues for it, and it does occur. We try to focus on individuals who are either in the sex industry through fraud, force, and coercion. And, of course, we investigate cases where a minor has been exploited sexually.
The FBI grants something called Title 18 authority to the local police.
On our task force, we deputize our task force officers with Title 18 authority, so that enables them to go ahead and conduct federal investigations with us.
The U.S. Department of Justice has a violent crimes unit that investigates sex trafficking, a subject we'll be discussing in more detail in the next episode of this series. Here's U.S. Attorney Scott Kern.
So where the federal government's going to primarily get involved is in the investigation and prosecution of sex trafficking offenses. When we talk about sex trafficking, what we're talking about is the recruitment, harboring, transportation, providing, obtaining, patronizing, or soliciting a person for the purposes of a commercial sex act. And by commercial sex, that's simply any sex act on account of which anything of value is given to or received by any person. So primarily with the U.S. Attorney's Office and the federal government, things that are criminalized are the sex trafficking of minors, obviously anyone under the age of 18 years old, as well as sex trafficking that involves force, fraud, or coercion.
Keep in mind that if you travel overseas to engage in trafficking, you can face federal charges here in Portland when you get home.
Our office has prosecuted people for going overseas to engage in sexual activity with minors. It is if you travel in interstate or foreign commerce with the intent or purpose of engaging in criminal sexual activity, you can be prosecuted. Now, the issue is where you're going to be prosecuted. And if someone left from Portland and traveled overseas with that purpose, they could possibly be prosecuted here in the District of Oregon.
The Portland Police Bureau is dealing with local issues most often related to prostitution. They focus on eliminating demand. Here's Undercover Agent A.
Our team is focusing more and more on the buyer side, on the demand. They call it the demand.
Okay.
The idea there is that it's an economics issue. If there were no buyers, there would be no reason to traffic persons, right? So we are trying to focus on the demand and educate people on that so they don't buy sex. I can tell you that last year my team arrested 200 buyers. We're on track to do the same this year, but that's not counting the other compelling and promoting. And
given that most prostitution now is internet-based, we wondered how the police deal with that.
We've seen that the majority of our trafficking and prostitution activity is online. Most of the women are going online if they have access to the internet, and that's where they're soliciting. We had to learn about lots of different things we didn't know about previously. We had to learn about all the different websites, and then we had to try and find a way into them, which is not always easy. In some ways, it makes it easier because we can access a broader scope of the people being victimized than we could who are just walking up and down the street, and we're only going to see the ones we see. So in some ways, it's better. In some ways, it's harder.
Can the police respond to an ad and set up a meeting and then arrest someone?
Yes.
Yes. Do you do that?
Yes, we do.
So the Portland police follow what's called the Nordic model, going after customers. The Portland police have decided to relabel pimping as trafficking, even when the key elements of trafficking, exploitation of a child and use of force, are lacking. They don't like the word pimp because they feel, rightly so, that it suggests a lifestyle that's been glamorized in pop culture and should be rejected at every opportunity. Here's undercover agent A clarifying the language.
Compelling prostitution, which is a Measure 11 crime, as he talked about, a felony.
Compelling.
Right.
That's like being a pimp.
Right. So it would be like being a pimp or a trafficker. We like to call them traffickers just to not glorify the word pimp.
Is a pimp the same as a trafficker?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. We try not to call them pimps because our society kind of glorifies the word pimp to mean something cool. And advocates, survivor advocates think that's what they
are. But agent or trafficker, that's a different kind of crime, isn't it? Trafficking.
Trafficking is what we call someone who compels or profits from prostitution acts.
Okay.
Who is not the prostitute themselves.
It's not just someone who manages an underage person or a person against their will in sex. It's anyone whom you would have called a pimp before, a trafficker.
Yes.
Well, that's an important distinction. I'm not sure our other people that I've talked with would use the same words in the same way.
So I guess if you think of it like this, so there are two different crimes. There's promoting prostitution, and then there's compelling prostitution. So promoting prostitution is aiding or facilitating an act of prostitution or receiving money or other profits from prostitution as a third party. Compelling prostitution is forcing someone, either against their will or through force, fraud, or coercion, to work as a prostitute, or any time you are promoting a juvenile.
That sounds enlightened. But wait, here's a different viewpoint from labor economist Dr. De La Justa. She contends that prosecuting Johns has essentially the same effect as going after prostitutes.
You may have heard Europe is massively moving towards this so-called Nordic model of prostitution regulation, which basically tries to criminalize clients. And the UK as well has moved towards criminalization of clients quite significantly over the years. And that means, therefore, that although prostitution may not be a crime in and of itself from the point of view of those who sell the services, it is from the point of view of those who purchase the service. In terms of what it does to the business, it actually creates the same problems, right? Whether you criminalize the person supplying or the person demanding, it pushes the business underground and makes it unsafe.
This may seem like semantics, but how we use the word trafficking is important. Here's Red Reed, an escort and activist, on this distinction.
The federal definition of trafficking is fairly explicit. It requires force, fraud, and coercion. But in operation in Portland, they tend to use the Canadian definition of trafficking, which is the Nordic model. Anyone who profits off of, money earned through sex is a trafficker.
I questioned them about that. And they define all pimps as traffickers.
Yeah.
Even though the federal regulation is that a trafficker is a person only who forces women or who takes young, underage women.
Yeah. The approach the Portland police take also means that we can't have safety calls because if we get in trouble, our safety call will be liable to be charged as our pimp. So there was a very famous, not locally famous case on my birthday, actually, a few years ago, where a woman was murdered. Her mom was her safety call. Her mom called the hotel multiple times. The hotel didn't do anything. And eventually her body was found in the stairwell of the hotel. But the mom didn't call the police because she knew that she would be charged as a trafficker of her daughter.
Couldn't the PPB use another word for pimp instead of trafficker? A word that didn't mislead and confuse the public? How about procurer? How about hustler, panderer, whoremonger? Anything but trafficker.
Red also criticizes the police bureau on what could be called profiling. We're familiar with racial and ethnic profiling, but sex worker profiling, that's something we hadn't thought of.
Are lower-income folks and people of color affected more adversely or just differently than other sectors in this industry?
Both, more adversely and differently. You can tell by the people that the DA charges, you know, or targets, hair weaves, fake nails, that they're going after things that are stereotypically markers of women of color, you know, things that are fashionable, although they've moved into the white mainstream. But, you know, on women of color, those things signify something to white cops that they don't signify in our communities.
A certain look can get you attention you don't want. And we'd like your feedback. At the end of this series, we'll do a full episode in which you get to speak your mind on this subject. If you have a comment or question about the series or about the sex trade, we'd like to hear it. Call the KBOO newsroom at 503-231-8032, and we'll hear you out and put you on the air.
One of the worst crimes in the industry, and the one that seems to get the most attention, is that of trafficking. We talked about it here briefly, but it has a broader impact.
Is it the most important crime in the industry? Is trafficking a form of slavery? We'll take on those issues in our next episode. This is Tom.
And this is Natalie. That's it for episode 5.